a mighty God. Hopefully we recognize that. We need to know that more often than not. I think we take that for granted. In many cases, you can see in how we live and the things that we do. But we need to always recognize a mighty God we serve. There is no one else mightier than him. He is our God, our Father. Amen. So hopefully everybody had a blessed Thanksgiving. Didn't eat too much. I did. Pray for me. But it's all good. I love, praise God for that. I also pray for me. I'm coming a little bit under the weather, but that's all good also. Comes with it. We know we're decaying outside day after day, but renewing inside. And so we praise God for that. So for the order of my steps, excuse me while I'm getting everything together. A question was asked, because one thing you hear me say continually is we got to make sure we test every message. Test every message. It's something that we can't take for granted. We have to do it. Unfortunately, one reason why churches are so separated, why in Christianity you have so many different flavors, you have so many different reasons, and we named some of them before, and this is one of the most major ones, is because we don't test. We don't check the message. And I wish I could take the credit to say, hey, that came from me, but it didn't. The Word tells us to do this. Unfortunately, due to tradition, just a regular routine, respect and admiration for a person, and if we're being very honest with ourselves, one of the biggest reasons we don't check is downright laziness. We just don't feel like it. You know, I went to church. I don't feel like going home and checking it. And we hope, you know, I hope what he said was right. And we'll just kind of accept it. And we've been doing that. And we're getting a lot of stuff wrong. We're applying stuff that have nothing to do with God. And it's our fault. You understand that? It's our fault. Why? Because we're not checking it. Understand this. If you turn your bulletins over, what cleanses us and separates us to be used by God is the Bible. A lot of people don't realize that. The thing that actually cleanses us and separates us to be used by God is the Bible. And the prayer that Jesus had with the Father in John 17 through 21, he said, sanctify them by the truth. And then he says, your word is truth. That word sanctified means to separate for a specific use, and that's for a holy use, and that's his use. In other words, we are set aside for his use. When we get saved, we belong to God, and we're made to be used by him. What sets us aside? His word. His word cleanses us. It says, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, and they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you and I, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So it's a combination of how this word works. So this is so important to every Christian, to the entire body, to our ministry. So we have to take this serious. But then the same word is the thing that tells us to test, to check everything. Now, understand, you're never to necessarily ignore a ministry, but there are ways we must check it. Sometimes today we'll hear somebody go, oh, I'm not listening to them. Oh, here they come. Oh, I'm not going to talk about it. And we pick certain people. We start playing favoritism instead of checking. Look what the Bible says on this whole topic of checking. 1 Thessalonians 5:19-22. It says, first of all, do not quench the spirit and do not despise prophecy. So basically it's saying do not put out the power of the Holy Spirit. If somebody's ministering to the Holy Spirit, if they're doing some gifts through the Holy Spirit, if it's something, and you're not sure if it's from him or not, don't just say, well, don't do it. Allow it to happen, but then you're going to do something with it. And I'll show you what that means, okay? Same thing with prophecy. Prophecy is not just talking about prophesying the future through the Lord, but it's also talking about the ministry. When we preach, it's a prophecy. We're giving what the word is saying. So it's saying, don't just say, no, I'm not listening to that, but it tells us what to do with it. It says, but test everything. Do y'all get this? Test everything. I grew up in a, what you may call it, an apostolic church, and there was a lot more of the displaying or emotional displaying in certain cases of what we would call the Holy Spirit. at times, and what was hard is you hear some people that would struggle with it, and I would go, well, how am I supposed to know when it was real and when it was not? This verse was the thing that gave me the answer. Test everything. Our measuring point is the Bible. So when I would watch or hear or see them do these things, I wouldn't say not to do it or cancel them out, but question, but if the Bible says this, then why are we doing this? Simple question. You understand that? And it would answer that. You know what I mean? It was good conversation we had with the people that wanted to talk. Others would run away. But for the most part, the testing made it clear to me which was real and which was not. The Bible let me understand what is true spirituality and which is are the games that are being played. It says to test everything. Everybody say everything. Everything includes all things. So what that means is I don't care what I hear, who it comes from, when they do it, I still have to test it. Is it in line with the Word of God? I have to test it. That is our responsibility. And then once I test it, I hold fast to that which is good. So those that are good, I cling on to it. That's exactly, praise God, give God the glory. But it says avoid or abstain from every form of evil. So anytime I see it and it's not based on God's word, it's evil. When you go up, then you back off of it. Do y'all see how this works? But if you notice, this is our instruction. It doesn't just say go to church and you'll get the answer. We now have a responsibility. We are commanded not to believe every spirit, but to test them. This is very clear. And once again, we don't do this. Once again, we'll accept messages from people just because we admire them, because we like them, because we enjoyed the message, because it hit our desire. But we don't test them. We don't test them. Look what he says about this. 1 John 4:1-3. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit. Stop there for a minute. So he gives you very clear. He's telling you to be skeptics. Immediately you hear. You're hearing me right now. Be a skeptic. I'm telling you that. The Bible's telling you that. Any message here from, I don't care if you admire the person, I don't care if you've heard many messages from the person they've been dead on, you still stop and check. He says, do not believe. So I'm listening first, okay? And then he says, but to test the spirits to see whether they are from God. This is so important. We have some magnificent messages out there that are just downright wrong, and we don't check them. And we're putting ourselves in danger. It says, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. Now, what it's not saying, it's not just saying if they just say these words, then they are from God. It's not what it's saying. The word acknowledge is more than just saying it. It's you're saying it, you're displaying it, you're confirming it. You're making sure that everybody recognizes that you truly believe it in everything that you do. And what is it that we're supposed to acknowledge? That Jesus has come in the flesh. To acknowledge Jesus Christ. And it says, to show this, Jesus in the Word, in the flesh. It says in John 1:1-2, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And then it jumps down to verse 14, where it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So now you just take this section. This is just a small section of many things believing and following in Jesus. It first lets us know that he is God. Now, this is one of the reasons why we separate ourselves from the Jehovah's Witness, because Jehovah's Witness Bible, and there's only their Bible, has added. They added the word A. They go, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was a God. Now, you may say, okay, that little simple thing, well, you're taking away the deity of God. The deity of Christ, who is God. That's powerful, okay? And that's, like we just read, testing every spirit. The minute they start changing Christ, you then have to say, okay, they're not acknowledging, and that's part of being the Antichrist. Secondly, you have some that may call Jesus a spirit. Some just call him a holy prophet. Some call him everything else other than what he and his word says he was and is. Saying he is God, that he was here in flesh, you know, that he is the Son of God also. There's just so many things he said. Anytime any of that's denied, they are of the Antichrist because it's going against it. And I broke it down if they deny he is God, if they deny he exists on earth, and if they deny the Bible. The most important one, the Bible. So the main thing is, if they start teaching anything that's not from the Bible, they're not preaching Christ in flesh. Because it says the Word. The Word became flesh. Do y'all get this? Okay? So when I start denying the Bible, and this is where it becomes dangerous, you get these experts who say, I know the Bible says this, but. And if you go along with that, you're setting yourself up to be misled and confused. They may even come up with something that sounds great, but if it's not in line with God's Word, we have a major problem. So let's understand, when it comes to receiving the Word, we have a responsibility. Okay, every Christian has a responsibility. Acts 17 verse 11 shows us that responsibility using one of the groups as an example. It says, now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians. It says, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scripture every day to see if what Paul said was true. Now look how this process works, okay? The first part is completely receiving the message. Some people are just comfortable with going to church. I went to church. What did they preach? I have no idea. I have no clue. You already failed. You might as well stay home and slept in, right? Because the purpose is not going so somebody can mark you off an attendance list. Remember, this is for you, okay? It's based on you, so you have to receive it. You may hear it and go, oh, I don't agree with this. So you're taking notes. That's the first phase. Remember, they said they received the message with great eagerness. In other words, they were like, shh, making sure nothing else was distracting them. They were receiving what was being said. I'm going to talk about this later is what they're saying. I want to make sure I understand exactly what's being given to me. Too many times we go to church and we're preoccupied. We got too many other things going on in our lives, right? We're kind of floating away, thinking about other things. I already heard this one, didn't I, before? You know what I mean? We're just going through the motions, not realizing it's hurting you. But like the Bereans, they went and they received this message. And what did they do next? It says they checked or examined the scriptures. How often? Every day. Daily. And they did it with a purpose, to see if what Paul said was true. Now, some of us will go, that was Paul. Paul's a man of God. He's a great man. Bereans were like, I don't care who he is. Do you understand this? And they were called noble for that. There's a lot of us that are misled because we're following people because of that person. As a young age, I told you many times where I follow people because I admired them until I started checking. And I would go, wait, that's not in there. And it was disheartening when I would go to them and say, hey, can you help me out with this? This message you gave is going against this in the Bible. And they would give you the, well, you can't always take everything literal. And they would give me messages of, well, that's confusing. So I only take it literally when you say it and when you don't say it. And it was a very frustrating place to be. But it opened up my eyes to how the message is distorted, how the message can be thrown all over the place if I don't just stay firm in the Word. It is my responsibility to check it. So we have to first completely receive the message and then check the Bible daily to make sure the message is correct. So how do we do this? These are steps to check the message. So you come to church and in FSG you get a order my steps and you get a sermon. Okay? So and sermons usually in parts, so you're going to get a first part today and you're going to hear it. So how then, what do I do when I go home for the rest of the week? First thing, check how the message was given. How the message was given. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 to 2 says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, watch this. Now, these are the negative things you got to watch out for. We have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. Look at those three things. First of all, renounce secret and shameful ways. If I get up here and I give you this, I have this secret way of giving you a message. You don't know about it, but you've got to receive it from me. It's secret only to me. When I make it seem like that me and God have this hidden relationship to give you a message, there's a problem. Does everybody get that? Okay? We may have a gift, but it's not some hidden power that I have over all the rest of you because God favored me in a sense and picked me over you. It's secret and shameful ways. Because the problem with that, you're stuck to listening to what I say and just have to believe me. Only one word to trust is Christ. Does everybody understand that? I am just an instrument. So the only time you trust me is when I'm giving you Christ. That's it. Not when I come up here telling you I have some new thing that I'm making up. So that's secret and shameful ways, so we don't do that. And deception, lies. If I told you something and you know it's a lie in order to make you believe him, that's a problem. And that happens in a lot of ministries. We say things that have happened and they really didn't. Say things that are going to happen and we know they're not. We explain things as if God did something and then we know he didn't. That's deception. So when you know that's a part of it, you have to watch out for that. And the biggest thing is distorting the word of God. Distorting the word of God is when we just take bits and pieces of it, when we misuse a phrase, when we use it out of context. All of those things, when the message is given, be very careful. I've heard many times where people will take a scripture and then build that scripture around their topic. And even though it has nothing to do with the Bible, they force it into their topic, what they want it to mean. And we accept it. So those things we have to look out for. But then what does he say we do? This is what a minister is supposed to do. The plain thing, setting forth the truth plainly. Did y'all get that? It might not be a beautiful thing. It might not always feel good. It might not always sound good. But basically, it's me just giving you the word, clearing it up for you, but plainly. And that's what he means when he says, setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. What does that mean? It means what I'm giving you, you can get as mad as you want, but all I'm saying is I'm just a messenger. Does that make sense? I can't go, I hope I didn't mislead them, because it's not me. I'm just giving you what the Bible says. The problem comes is when Keith comes to give you a message. Now I can mislead you. I can distort you. I can cause a problem. And now I'm held accountable. What if I made you fall based on a Keith Smith message? That's a problem. Do y'all get this? But my job is just to present the message of Christ. Feed you with the word. That's it. Now, if you're frustrated with that and have a problem with that, we have a problem with God, and we can grow in God, and we can talk about that. But for me, I'm just presenting a message, just a mailman. Y'all get this? Some of you are going to get bills. Some of you are going to get cards with money in them. And some of you are going to love it. Some of you are going to hate it. But either which way, you can't be mad at me, and all I'm supposed to do is present that message. That's the first thing. Make sure the message is not something that came from that man, that man's experience, what that man thinks, that man's intelligence. Be very careful of that. That's the first thing. So you're going to think about the message, the notes you've taken, and where did that come from. Secondly, make sure the subject is of sound doctrine. Everybody say sound. Now, when we say sound, we mean completely supported by. Completely supported by. Matthew 4, 5 through 7. Watch what Satan tried to do to Jesus. It says, then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. He says, if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Is that in the Bible? Yes, it is. It's in Psalms. All right? And Jesus acknowledged that. He's not saying it's not, but look at what he says. He says, Jesus answered him, it is also written. It is also written. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Very important. What happens, one of the biggest things that the prosperity ministries have used against people is that ask and you shall receive. And that's it, by itself. Buy it, leave it alone. Now, there's a whole bunch of other verses on asking and receiving. We did a whole sermon on it that you'll never hear touched. They'll just use that one of, you ask, you're going to receive, you know what I mean? That's it. And they'll leave that by itself, and everybody's saying amen, while you have a lot of brokenhearted people going, well, how come I'm not receiving? Because they only gave you part of the word and not the complete word. And the reason why we usually hurt is we didn't check it, right? You can go, yeah, that one's in there. But what does this other verse say about receiving? And how about this other one about receiving? And we, it says in James that we don't receive because we have asked with wrong motives, right? But how come that wasn't heard? It's because we didn't get sound doctrine. So it's up to me to check it. I have to listen to a sermon and go, yeah, I know what that said, Pastor, but isn't it also written? Amen? You challenge it. You take your notes. That's up to you to check. This is where your small groups come in. This is where in your own individual Bible study comes in. You gather these and you make sure you check each of these, okay? And then understand that no matter how good it may sound, make sure it is all in the Bible. Everybody say all. Make sure it is all in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6 says, now, brothers, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, watch this, do not go beyond what is written. Do not go beyond what is, that little sentence right there is powerful. Do not go beyond what is written. Then you will not take pride in one man over against another. I'm sure you what happened. There was a time where a topic came up and a person was going over it, and they were able to support part of their topic in the Bible. The rest of their topic they supported by this writer. Now, he was a Christian writer, but that's how they supported the rest of it. They were like, so and such, who is a great writer, blah, blah, blah. He wrote his book, and in his book he said. And that was the second part, is what they used to support it. Problem is, not in the Bible. We have a problem. How do we know we can believe this person? Do y'all get this? Does everybody understand that? You know what I mean? Just because they're, once again, a great writer, and just because you like what they wrote, is it in line with God's word? Only come to you, and I'm not going to go over what that topic was. It was wrong. It was misleading. It was distorted. But this Christian writer, I think, really believed in it. And this is the other part that the person used as the support. And a lot of us accept that. A lot of us will say, well, the Bible says this and this other person, and he's this and that. Please be very careful of that. If it's not fully supported by the Bible, you need to be a skeptic. You need to go. The only thing a book should do is magnify what the word is saying. That's it. It should never add to it. It should never take away from it. Be very careful of that, okay? So make sure it's in the Bible. He says, do not go beyond what is written. Fourthly, along with other Christians, use real-life scenarios to make sure we are on the right path. Along with other Christians, use real-life scenarios to make sure we are on the right path. Hebrews 3, 13 through 14, it says, but encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Those two parts I have underlined, where it says to encourage each other daily and so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. The reason why we usually struggle and start going downhill is because we allow the world and our feelings and our emotions and our flesh to affect us in a storm, instead of being encouraged and strengthened and focused in his word. Amen. See, I don't want somebody to encourage me with it's going to be okay. Okay? I want somebody to encourage me with the word. When he says count it pure joy, you know, when you go through trials of many kind, that should be an encouragement of, okay, I'm going through a trial. Amen. You know what I mean? I mean, look at this one. Just to give you an encouragement where somebody gave me years ago. If you turn, First Peter 5. First Peter 5. We're going to read verse 6 and 7. First Peter 5. We're going to read 6 and 7. And the command part, the encouragement for me and for all of us is, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in what? In due time. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. There's a couple of things it told me in here. First of all, when it told me to humble myself under God, it said, Keith, I need you to get out of the way. You know what I mean? Many times where we mess up is we kind of tell God, okay, God, this is what I want you to do next. And God, if you just did this, things would work. And God, how come you don't allow this to happen in my life? And how come, wait. Humbling yourself is, so God, what do you want me to do? God, this happened. Explain what you want me to do next. Do y'all understand this? Humbling yourself is, I 100% need you. And it says that he may lift you up, and I love that, in due time. You can even add that due time in his time, right? I want it in his time, which will be the right time. Okay, I don't want it to be any other time other than the time that it's due. When God says it'll happen when I say it's going to happen, I want it to happen then. If it happens too soon, you know, we were, I think people were cooking and baking, and I noticed if you put something in too long, it'll come out bad, rubbery and burnt and whatever. If you put something in not long enough, it can be dangerous, you know what I mean? You want it to cook longer. And this, I mean, just with something as simple as cooking, it's the same thing with us. If God were to give it to us when we wanted it, it may be too soon. You understand that? Or too late in many of our lives. I want it in due time. This was encouraging when somebody said this to me, because I was listening to what the word said and not listening to somebody else who were going, I don't know why God's doing this to you and this and that and giving me all this and making me feel bad in myself and struggling. I needed this. Encourage each other with the word. Stop encouraging with emotion. Stop encouraging them with human hope. Use the word. Do y'all understand this? It's not always the most desirable, but it is the most. It is the best thing that you can have. And it's the thing that's going to encourage you. And it says, going back to the paper, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. There's a reason why you're going through what you're going through. Whatever that may be. Do you understand that? Okay? So I'm not going to try to steer you away from that. I'm going to encourage you through it. And hopefully you're doing the same thing. So this, we use this also, and in your Bible studies, in your small groups, it's very easy for us to bring up a situation and then for the group to start encouraging. Encouraging. Well, the Bible says this, that we do this, that we do. And it's just kind of testing things, and you're testing yourself. It's an excellent thing to do. Instead of you just saying, I know the Bible says, but. You don't know how many times I hear Christians say that. I'm not going to let anybody just talk to me that way. That's what they'll say, you know. I know the Bible says this, but I'm not going to let anybody do this, and I'm not going to. So then why are you reading the Bible? Go do your thing. I guess you got it all figured out. But then you're putting yourself in danger. Lastly, after making sure what has been taught is accurate, then test you to make sure you are living it. Very important. That should be the last part of 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. It says, test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? Some people read that and go, well, how come he didn't tell us what the test is? He did tell you what the test is. In the faith is the word. Okay? So basically, when I'm examining myself, I'm checking to see, how did I live this week? Was it based on the word, in the faith, or not? Did y'all catch that? How did I handle everything? Was it in the word, in faith, or not? How did I handle my family, my relationships, my finances, my situations? Was it in the word or not? More fail than you believe. Because we have our own ways of doing things. It's not based on God's word, but we want God to support it, right? Pray for me while I go do this thing that God told me I shouldn't do. Amen? And that's basically what we do. It says, examine yourselves. Check yourselves. Know what you did throughout the week and say, how did I handle this? How did I deal with this? Is it in line with God's word? He says, do you not realize Christ Jesus is in you unless, of course, you fail the test? Okay, if you feel like, and if you watch your life and you never see you following what the word is saying, yeah, your Christianity is questioned. You understand that? If you're one of those that just said, I accepted Christ, but your life is built upon intellect, built upon ignorance, built upon emotion, built upon culture, but you don't see spirituality, you don't see God, there's a problem. Make sense? And the second part of that is, in Galatians 6, 3 through 5, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Okay? He's basically letting you know, some of us already have accepted what we think we are. You know what I mean? You'll tell everybody what you are and how much of a Christian you are, and they'll sit there and they'll watch. Like I said, every year we do, and as we're starting today, we do fruit. Why? To make sure we understand we're spiritual. Now, a lot of times we don't like hearing that. We don't want to go through it again and follow it. We are to be spiritual. Now, without raising your hands, how many of you think, and this is something you say to yourself, that you are spiritual? And you'd be surprised how many are not. Do y'all get this? Now, what we do fruit for is to see, because it shows us evidence. Fruit is not just for me to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. It's for you to go, let me check my tree branches and see if I have this fruit. And if a lot of us really checked, like he said, examined ourselves, or making sure that we're something that we're not, we'd look and go, how come I don't see any fruit on my branch? Do y'all get this? Okay, this is what the Bible does. It helps us to check us to make sure we're in him. It says each one should test his own actions. his own action. Then he could take pride in himself. Somebody asked a question in Bible study about the pride in himself. It's not a worldly pride where it's based on you. It is a godly pride of you living in him. Okay? It's more of a godly pride that I am doing exactly what God wants me. I'm in where God wants me to be. Only if you examine what? Your own actions. Not your emotions. Your actions. How did you deal with what you're going through? Put it down on paper. This is painful. I've done it. But if you do it, when you write down your day and everything you've done, and if you say, is it in line with God's word? Do you understand it? How did I react? No excuses. Just explain how you did it. Examine those actions. It says, then he could take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else, for each one should carry his own load. That's very important. I should have underlined without comparing himself to someone else, because a lot of times that's what we tend to do. As we will look at somebody else who's what the world may call more evil than I am, and it'll justify my Christianity instead of me testing me. Does that make sense? Instead of me testing me, where I'm at, what's expected of me. We have these steps now, and hopefully we are going to test everything. Hopefully we treat this word with the sensitivity that it needs and with the power that is needed in our lives and with the importance that is made for us. Hopefully we're checking ourselves daily. Continue to test the word, or test the word that's given to you, to make sure that everything that's given to you is in the word of God. Amen? All right. As the word says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. We take this time out to talk to our Father, to ask him and to ask him for the things that we're going through, and give us guidance, give us strength, understanding. We ask for his protection. We give him thanks. Hopefully in the times you're talking to him, you always start out by giving him thanks. In the middle, you're giving him thanks. End it with thanking him. Please thank him. I know at times it may not feel like it, but he knows what he is doing. Amen. For those of you who want to write your prayers down, there should be a blank piece of paper on the table. Feel free to write your prayer on that. Put it in the usher's table. We'll pray over it in the end. For those of you who would like somebody to pray with you, see myself or one of the deacons. We'll be more than glad to pray with you. And as we always do along with our children, and examples to our children, is pray continually. If there's anyone who is confused or not sure or would like to be part of the body of Christ, make sure you see me or one of the deacons, and we'll be more than glad to accept you into the body of Christ. Amen? Prayer and meditation. But we can't stay there. There's a seed of righteousness inside of you. Oh, we say that. But we get back up again. We fall down sometimes, but we get back up again. Yes, we do that. We rise back up again. For the saints, just sinners. Oh, good to know we have a merciful God, that we can fall down but still get up again. Amen. Please take the time out to help yourself with refreshments. Come back in, and we'll be starting on a new lesson, fruit. Amen.